Do any of you juggle? I've tried. My daughter taught me to start with scarves. That's really not too hard. You take two scarves and you sort of toss one up in the air and it floats there while you toss the other one up and retrieve it. And you can do a couple of scarves fairly easily. When you get home this afternoon, you might want to try that. Adding a third scarf gets to be more difficult. And then when I tried to do it with balls, well, let's just say it was not a pretty sight. It did not work well. I've never been able to do it. But I love to watch people who can juggle, who can keep all those balls going at the same time, or maybe they'll juggle knives. I don't know how they do that. It just scares me to death. It's fascinating to watch these folks. Juggling is sometimes what we think of when we look at our lives and think about how much we're trying to do all at the same time. Keeping up with our families, there goes one ball. Keeping up with our job, there goes another ball. Our responsibilities at church, there's that tricky third one. School activities, social obligations, they all fight for room on our schedules. That's why in recent years, my planner has gone from this to this. We have to juggle so many things. It's exhausting. The Pharisees did a lot of juggling too. Every day they lived their lives trying to figure out whether or not they were breaking any of the laws, not the Ten Commandments, but any of the 613 laws that had been developed over the years. They went from the Ten Commandments to the big planner. The Pharisees were sincere in their faith. Now, we have gotten used to booing and hissing anytime we hear the word Pharisee. I learned to do that when I was in Sunday school. But they weren't bad people. They were just very sincere and very intent on making sure that they and everybody else kept those 613 laws the way that they had been developed. So I'm not going to be too hard on the Pharisees this morning because I know I've got a little bit of Pharisee in myself. And I would imagine that some of y'all might have a little bit of Pharisee inside as well. So I'm guessing they're thinking maybe it would be helpful if Jesus would just tell them one law. One law, the greatest law, the one that should be kept above all of the others. And then they wouldn't have to worry about juggling those 612 others. They could be sure they were good with that one and do the best that they could with the rest of them. So one of them asks, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Yeah, it was a test. Yes, they had already been put down by Jesus once. The Sadducees had gotten their hands spanked a second time. They were really trying to trip Jesus up. But maybe there was just one Pharisee like you and me in the crowd that day. Maybe there was just one Pharisee there who was crushed under the weight of all of the shoulds and the shalls and the oughts and the musts and was trying to find a relief from some of that burden. Tell me, what's the one thing I need to do? The greatest commandment. And Jesus answered, Love the Lord your God with your whole being, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with every part of who you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. Period. He took those men who were so anxious to please God back to the basics. He used the KISS principle, keep it simple. The entire law, all of those books that they had in their offices and in their libraries, could be summed up very simply. When you think about it, it makes sense. Take those Ten Commandments. Have no other gods before me. Don't take God's name in vain. Honor the Sabbath. Those are ways to love God. Honor your parents. Don't murder. Don't steal or lie or commit adultery. Don't covet. Those are good ways to love your neighbor. It also makes sense when we remember that very small scripture, the one that was our favorite to memorize when we were young because it was so short. God is love. It's not only written in the book of 1 John. It's a theme that's threaded throughout the entire Bible. God's love is motive. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Love is Jesus' message to the world. On the night in which he was gathered in that upper room with his disciples, he told them, "A new commandment I give you. Love one another. Even as I have loved you, love one another." And it is love that is the power behind the Holy Spirit. All of this reminds us how to live in the world. If love is the basic rule of our lives, then it makes most decisions fairly easy to make. So if we wonder if something is the right thing to do, we can still use the principle of love to decide whether or not it is the best thing to do. It's more basic even than any of the other rules that we have that we live by. John Wesley's general rules or the four laws of Rotary. But love of God and love of neighbor has got to be more. More than just a good guiding principle for our lives. Being made in God's image, we're compelled to love because we were created to love. Even though the sin in us fights hard against that love, we all want to love. I can't help but think here of the scripture that I have read in more weddings than I can possibly count. Maybe it was read at your wedding as well. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. It's a beautiful text that begins to flesh out what love is, as well as what love does or what love doesn't do. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't begrudge others their gifts or accomplishments. Love doesn't brag or boast. Love is not always parading itself around in superiority over others. Love isn't selfish or self-seeking. Love isn't easily angered. It doesn't fly off the handle or throw temper tantrums. Love forgives the mistakes of others rather than keeping score of their faults. Love doesn't delight in evil. It's not happy when bad things happen to other people. Love is a positive quality that drives out destructive tendencies. As we begin to look at those characteristics of love, it's a reminder that love isn't a feeling. Love is not always warm and fuzzy. Love is a way that we act. Love is not so much what we do, but who we are. So while Jesus' command to love simplifies life in so many ways, I only have two things to remember: love God, love neighbor. It doesn't always make it easy. Simple and easy are not always the same thing. Because you see, love often involves a choice. I don't have to think about loving my husband when he's doing everything exactly the way I want it done. I hope he's not listening. He's preaching at his church. This will come on later. Maybe he won't hear it. But sometimes when he's grumpy, I have to make a choice. Resentment is easy. Love takes work. Loving neighbor involves a choice. And it takes into account not just loving those who are far away, like Myra reminded the children today, people that we don't know. It takes into account Jesus' command to love our enemies. And I think especially this week, as I've seen people's reactions to the death of Gaddafi, as well as remembering how people responded to the deaths of Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden, what does it mean to love my enemy? Hate is easy. Love takes work. Loving God is easy when I think about Jesus' choice to die for us, or about the many blessings that have come our way. But when someone we love dies unexpectedly, or we find out we've received a diagnosis that we didn't want, anger and doubt are easy. Love takes work. Love requires action. If we've been involved in a misunderstanding, it's easier to let pride win the day than to seek forgiveness and reconciliation and let love rule. Love bids me set aside what I might think or feel and to take up the mind of Christ Jesus, who welcomes the alien and the stranger. Love draws me out of my own world and thrusts me into a week of Salkahatchee. Love requires that I become engaged in acts of social justice on behalf of the least and the last and the lost. Love takes work, but we can love because God's spirit of love lives within us. We love because God first loved us. What are you juggling this morning? How many balls are you trying to keep up in the air? What are they? Do you have your hands full of pride and past hurt? Are you trying to keep your own self-interest in the mix along with the love that God commands? Folks, it doesn't work. You might think you can juggle all of these things, but Jesus is asking you to drop all of the extras and focus this morning on love. Just doing that is plenty. In fact, it's more than we can do by ourselves. It's only by God's grace that we are able to love in such a way, because it is through God's grace that we have been loved into right relationship with God. Jesus not only taught us the great commandment, he showed us what it looked like and continues to call us to follow after his example. It's just that simple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. As we conclude our service this morning, I want to invite you, as we sing this hymn, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand," to drop away some of those things that you're juggling, that's too much. To let God take your hand and give you peace and rest. Hymn number 474, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand."